have a box like that. So you got to go to the bush, okay? Okay, I'm in James chapter 1, verse 25. But whoso, well, let's back up. Verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Sounds like repentance, doesn't it? But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Lord, I sure love you. Thank you for this Wednesday night that we can gather together, and I pray that you'd bless your folks from the Word of God. We sure love you, Lord, and pray that you would get the glory and the honor here tonight. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we started with that perfect law of liberty last week. It's perfect. It is a law, but it's the law of liberty. John chapter 8, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We talk about freedom. It's not a freedom to live a licentious or a selfish life. It's freedom from sin, not bound by the bondage of sin or bound by dead religion. We're also free from fear of the judgment of God on sin, because that judgment took... I'm not worried about standing before God and going to hell. Amen? Now, I'm not really looking forward to the judgment seat of Christ, but I'm not going to go to hell there. That'll be my works, and you know, stuff will get burned up in the fire, and hopefully some stuff will be left over. But no, it's talking about freedom from sin, perfect law of liberty. Liberty, I mean, who would have ever thought, you know, each and every one of us, where we were, the families that we came from, and all that kind, that we get to live for God, amen, that we get to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I mean, listen, I'm just from my heart, okay? I don't think our life is our own if we're saved. Okay? If it was left to Mike Keenan would not be flying to the Philippines. The idea of getting on jets and, you know, getting squished in like sardines and flying half, it's halfway around the world, guys. You know, and it's eating white rice and more white rice and more white rice. And, you know, and it's a different language and it's a different culture and all that kind of stuff, you know. But here it is. Okay, it's not my choice if I'm a child of the Lord. And then you think about it. God opens a door for you to go halfway around the world and preach the Word of God. These girls, when I was their age, I never did anything like that for God. You girls have gotten to do that kind of stuff. It's just a privilege, you know. Those open doors come, guys. I don't know. You just, those of us that are saved, you just got to get through those things. And, you know, you just you tell the flesh, you know, just suck it up and you got to do it. And so, yeah, it's good to say amen when it's my flesh, not your flesh. I'm just kidding. That's exactly right. We got to put the flesh down. They just, Pastor Matt, Brother Dan went to India. India's worse than the Philippines, guys. Filthy and dirty and more dangerous, I think. Although they tell me Davao could be dangerous, so y'all better be praying for me. If you're not praying for me, I know you went ill to come to your pastor. And somebody will say, hey, I saw your pastor on the news. Oh, really? Yeah, he was captured by the Muslims down in Davao. That's not a good thing, okay? Amen. So anyway, it's perfect. The perfect law of liberty. It's entire. There's no defect in that law. That book, it directs us in a great, perfect direction. And what that law wants to do is conform us to God. And really, it's to be enjoyed. The Christian life, serving the Lord, is way better than doing anything else in the world. You know what I mean? It's not temporary. It's eternal. And then you get to have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's a perfect law of liberty. Now, look with me in verse number 26. I'm sorry, I'm still in 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and there's the key word there, continueth therein. Let's go to, keep your finger in James, let's go to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. For those of you who did not know this, Psalm 1 was one of Brother Jack's most favorite passages in the Word of God. When he had a card made up with his phone number on, he had Psalm 1 put on there. Psalm 1 in verse number 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh in the counsel of, I'm sorry, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law, of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate what? What's that sound like? Continuing. Sounds like continuing. Look at John chapter 8 with me. John chapter 8. Look at verse 31. John chapter 8, verse 31, the book says, in verse 30 it says, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my what? See, just because you're saved doesn't make you a Christian. Just because you're saved doesn't make you a disciple. Amen? I didn't set the qualifications for a Christian, and I didn't set the qualifications for a disciple. The Lord did. And if you don't meet those qualifications, okay, you're not like, I didn't say you weren't saved. You can be saved, right? But you're not a Christian. Or according to the Word of God, you're not a disciple. Does anybody know what some of the qualifications of a disciple are? You have to pick up your cross daily and follow Him. Now, I didn't say that. Jesus said that. Amen? It sounds like that dying to self, denying self, and we're living in the generation, nobody wants to deny self what? Anything. Huh? And so he said, continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. So let's go back to James 1. But whoso looketh, in verse 25, into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a what? A forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be what? And I tell you this, it's blessings here, but even better, it's blessings over there. Blessings forever by the grace of God. So you don't want to be a forgetful hearer, one who doesn't disobey, but is a doer. And that Bible says that they shall be blessed. Now verse 26. If any man among you seemeth to be religious... Now, as soon as you hear religious, what connotation do you have? We have a negative connotation, right? And for good reason. But this is not a negative connotation towards religion. If any man among you, I'll read verses 26 and 27, then preach a little bit about it. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is what? Isn't it amazing? How many different things could the Lord have picked to talk about vain religion? And what's he pick? The tongue. Verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. And so, I'm back in verse 26. If any among you seem to be religious. Now, you know he's talking about religious in verse 26, pure religion there. It's true. It's sincere. It's genuine. Do you follow what I'm saying? See, that is what's supposed to set born-again Christians apart from all other religions, is that it's genuine. We are different. The reason we're different is because we trusted Christ and the Holy Ghost moved in. And he's looking to conform us to the image of the Son of God. And so it's true. It's sincere. It's genuine. He mentions if any man's among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but is deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion, and he mentions undefiled. See, you and I, we think about religious and religion, and right away we have a negative context because we read through the Gospels and we read about those religious Jews, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And I believe that's who the Lord is hitting at here when he's trying to talk about pure religion and undefiled, because those Jews were hypocritical religionists. And so I think it's a charge against them, specifically the Pharisees and Sadducees. You see, their religion was all about external observances. And they tried to keep themselves from ceremonial defilements when they wouldn't keep themselves from sin. And they were morally bankrupt. Let me give you a couple verses. Go to Matthew 23. I'm telling you, religion's sending people to hell, folks. And Baptist religion is sending people to hell. I was talking to, I was talking to somebody today, and, Brother Cliff Taylor. And I don't know if you remember this. There was a Wednesday night in Newport that his uncle got saved. Do you remember that? Do you remember it? Well, anyway, his uncle went to be with the Lord yesterday, and he got saved when I was preaching. He called me to tell me about it. Said, just thought you'd be glad to know my uncle went on to heaven and he got saved that night at that church. Praise the Lord. Anyway, talking about religion. And so I was talking about going to the Philippines. See, about half of Brother Harwood's church is Filipinos. And I'd say 90% of those Filipinos who came, they had professed to know Christ as their Savior. But since they've been coming to a Solid Rock there under Brother Harwood, probably 90% of that 90% have gotten born again. Said, why? They were run through the easy believism thing and, you know, here, pray this prayer. And then they got into Baptist religion. I'm talking about visiting. I'm talking about doing all the ministries. And they were never saved. And then when the man of God standing up and preaching, except you repent, you shall likewise perish, and repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's no witness in their heart that they're born again, they got saved. And I'm telling you, there's some people that I would have leaned towards saying, do you believe that person saved? I would have gone, yeah, I believe that person saved. And one of them is Brother Nestor. Remember Brother Nestor? He read that book, I forget the name of it, but it was talking about how these Baptists are just running these people through praying a prayer, through the baptistry and joining the church and all that kind of stuff, and they never got saved. I'll tell you guys, Baptist religion is as bad as Buddhist religion or Muslim religion because it sends you to the same place. So look what the Lord has to say in Matthew 23, verse 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. What? What'd the Lord call them? Hypocrites. Hypocrites aren't going to heaven. Hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint. Anybody ever grow a mint herb? How big are they? It's not very big, right? It's just a garden, just a little plant. Man, you're tithing off a little plant? I'd say you're a legalist. An anise. Anybody know what anise is? What is it, babe? It's an herb. Do you know what it looks like? Like a leafy thing? You pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin. I guess that's an herb too, right? I'm going to have to douse out my salt or my pepper, right? Is that what they're doing? That's pretty religious, isn't it? He says you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin. Is he criticizing tithing? No, certainly not. But have omitted the weightier matters of the law. What matters would they be, Lord? Judgment. He that is spiritual, what? Judgeth all things. Oh, you know, what do the hypocrites say? Judge not that you be not judged. Why do they say that? Because they're living wicked as hell, and you're telling them they're living wicked as hell, and what they're doing is wrong, right? Yeah, I'm judging us, David. No. I'm judging you, and I'm judging you as backslid or not saved or whatever. Judging you as living in sin. How's that? Said, why? Because the Bible says he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Do you women judge? I hope you judge. I hope you judge when you cook for me. I'll tell you that. Hope you judge when you go to the grocery store and shop for your family. Amen. I hope you judge when you go shopping for clothes and stuff. I hope you judge real carefully. Amen. And look for a deal. If anybody finds a deal, my daughter-in-law finds a deal, she'll tell me about finding a shirt for 40 cents or something. Do you know why she finds deals like that? Yeah, this is what I say. I never find deals like that. Do you know why? I don't go where she goes. And I don't look the way she looks. She goes to get a deal, and she knows how to look for a deal. If I need something, I go in what I think will be a cheap place, get it, and walk out. I ain't looking. Hey, I have done this. I go shopping with my wife, and I tell her, I said, don't worry about me. I'm not going to be impatient. I'm just going to browse around. And so do you know what I've done this. I've gone to the men's department, and I look for the sign on the rack that says clearance. And so I start. And of course, all the racks are jammed tight together. And, I start trying to go through to find my size and check the prices and all that kind of stuff. And I do that for about 3 or 4 minutes and I'm done. You know, and I do real good up here, and then I just start going. Oh, I didn't find nothing. But no, not her. What they do? And you guys probably do it too. You go through every single one. You'll pull some out and go, nah, put that back. Am I right or wrong? Yeah, that's it, right. I don't know how I got into that. Oh, judgment! That's what happens when you spend the whole day in your study reading and studying and trying to just go on. Judgment. And look at the weight of your matters. How about mercy? Boy, I like that. How much mercy did those Jews have? You know what drives me nuts? Every time I read about that, the Lord heals somebody on the Sabbath day. And those sorry Jews said, well, he wouldn't be of God. He did on the Sabbath. And the guy who's got saved said, I didn't care when he did. He could have done it at midnight. Who cares when he did it? I got healed. Huh? No mercy, man. Hey, we got to be careful, guys. You know, this flesh is so rotten. You know, we'll get some things straightened out in our life, and that's great. But we won't have no mercy with anybody that doesn't have those things straightened out yet, or maybe not as old as us, or maybe, do you understand what I'm saying? Brought up different than us. We got to have mercy on people. Hey, how about when people do you wrong? How about having mercy? So, well, I've never done anybody wrong. Yeah, can we have an invitation right now? Guys, we've all said things, done things, that if we could take it back, we would change it. And thank God people forgive us, you know? Amen. And so he says, mercy and faith. How about believing the Word of God? Those Jews were far from believing the Word of God, weren't they? They have everything. Do you remember, I just read this the other day. What did the Pharisees say? They said, any prophets ever come out of Galilee? Well, did a prophet come out of Galilee? Yeah. Do you know who it was? It's Jonah. You said, what's the significance? Jonah is the prophet that the Lord used to illustrate the 3 days and the 3 nights that he was going to resurrect. And those dumb Jews, they thought they knew what? Everything. They didn't even know Jonah came out of Galilee. Said, no prophet came out of Galilee. Hey, you idiots. Yes, that's why you should know your Bible. Because people say stupid things about the Bible and it's not true. And you need to know what the Bible says. You say, well, here, wait a minute. Just show me that. Would you show me that? Most of those people never touched the Bible in their life. They heard some idiot say it. And so they're just regurgitating what they heard. That's pretty shallow. Look at John 18. This is the crowd that the Lord's shooting at there about pure religion and undefiled. John 18. John 18, verse 28. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early, and then themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be... What did they just do? They just betrayed the Son of God. They just rejected God's darling Son. But they're not going to go into a Roman judgment hall, so lest they be what? Do you see the hypocrisy? That's what the Lord's saying. Lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the... What? See, there's that external observance. Hey, guys, we need to be careful that we don't do like the Pharisees. Because if you do like the Pharisee, then you are a Pharisee. And so you have got to keep that proper balance in your life that, yes, things are wrong, there's sin, etc., etc., and there's convictions. But at the same time, okay, you can't lord that over somebody. You can't say that you are better than somebody else and take a high and mighty attitude because you don't know where other people are in their Christian lives. Does that make any sense at all? We're supposed to have charity, fervent charity one with another. There has to be some grace. You know, I'm thinking about John Mark, when John Mark went with Barnabas and Paul, remember? And listen, John Mark did not do right. He got scared, wanted to go back home, and he went back home. And so what's Paul ready to do? He's ready to cross him off for how long? Rest of his life. But not Barnabas. And remember, who found Paul? It's Barnabas. Paul wasn't in Antioch. Barnabas was in Antioch. God was in Antioch. Paul was exiled up to Tarsus. And I tell you what, Paul was so zealous for the Lord, those people didn't want him around because they were always getting him in trouble. He was always getting them. So they said, why don't you go back home? They were just getting rid of him. You know, sometimes young Christians or Christians that don't cross their T's and dot their I's, they got a little sum. And sometimes you just want to push them out. You better be careful about that stuff. And so they're ready to go on their next missionary journey. And Barnabas says, we're going to take John Mark with us again. And Paul says, no, we're not. He said, the sucker pulled out and he left us in the first. And what he did was wrong. I'm not saying it was right. But I can hear Barnabas, Paul, let's give this kid another chance. He's just young. You can't write him off. You know, he just pulled, blah, 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 blah. Buddy, they had a contention so sharp. They had words. And Paul went one way. Barnabas said, come on, buddy. We'll go. So what is that? That's charity. That's mercy. That's grace. Man, wouldn't you like to just have one person that nobody else thought was worth helping and you helped them? And then they went on and did something for God. You know, I took some criticism. We had a man in the church get mad when I was trying to help somebody. And he got up and left. And that guy never did. He didn't pan out. So why would you help him? How am I supposed to know if they're going to make it or not? If you don't help them, if you don't give them a shot, you'll never know. I don't think the Lord will get mad at me for trying to help somebody. Give them another crack at it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Not those Jews, those Pharisees, buddy. What about the woman taken in adultery? I mean, the Lord, according to the law, you know what he could have said? Take her down the pit, stone her. That's what the law says. What did he say? Woman, go. Sin no more. He was willing to give her another chance, even when the law said kill her. And so what I'm trying to get at is that there's pure religion and undefiled, and it has nothing to do with the Pharisaical Sadducees and that chop their heads off and, you know, don't heal on the and, you know, tithe your mint and your anise and, you know, all that kind of business. Let's go back to James. So it says in verse 26, true religion. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. So once again, it's talking about true religion. Now, you understand we're talking about salvation there. Is that okay? We all together on that? Okay. True religion, true salvation, doesn't make a mockery of quote-unquote religion. How many of you, somebody said, oh, when you got saved, oh, they got religion. See, that's the way the world looks at it when we get saved. We start going to church. We start living different. We don't cuss anymore. We don't drink anymore. We don't, you know what I'm saying? They say, oh, he got religion. Well, that's how the world looks at it. Well, a Christian doesn't bring mockery or shame on what the world calls religion. What we are is a testimony of what true religion should be, undefiled before God. See, religion is more than ceremonial observances, i.e. going to church on Sunday. It involves personal conduct. That's what the book is trying to get to. It's about our works. And here, he shows that those who don't bridle their tongue, they're not doers of the work. I like that, bridleth his tongue. When you think of a bridle, you right away think of putting a bit and bridle in a horse's mouth. I think there's something about that in the Bible, about putting a bit, because you can't lead them around without it. We shouldn't be that away. But bridle, in other words, there should be restraint. We should have restraint from some common sins of the tongue. What are some common sins of the tongue that you and I should not be involved in if we're saved? Raise your hand if you got one, Steph. Gossip. Lying. Saved people shouldn't lie. Tale bearing, which is another way of saying lying. Foul language. Hey, listen to me, guys. It's not right for anybody to cuss. And I know there's some preachers, and I know preachers, and, you know, they cuss. And I don't think, I'm not impressed by that, okay? I grew up in that generation. You know, I heard it from my parents. I heard it from the grammar school kids, okay? I mean, I picked it up from grammar school kids, for crying out loud. That does not impress me a little bit. In fact, what it really shows me is you don't have much of a grasp on the English language. If you can't express yourself without using foul language. You think our Lord cussed? No, you know he didn't. He didn't use questionable language. I believe that. Y'all do what you want to do, but I believe that. And so we've got lying. We've got gossip. How about, here's a Bible word, reviling. You know, putting a bad taint to somebody else. Railing against somebody. Unkind speech. How about that? Hey, my mom said, Michael, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything at all. And then Daddy said, if what you say, how did he say that? Is it true? There's three things. I'm thinking, is it true? And the third thing was, is it necessary for you to say that? I forget what the second one is. Anybody help me with that? My dad didn't tell y'all about it? Hey, you should bridle your tongue. Amen. Amen? Amen. You ought to shut up sometimes. Amen. Or at least hesitate and put your brain in gear.
Amen.
Look up here. Amen. I know I'm right. Some of y'all say stuff, it just shoots right out there. And I know your brain ain't in gear. I know your heart's not in gear.
Amen.
You know? There's nothing wrong with silence. I mean, sometimes when people are around and it gets quiet, people just feel like they got to talk. No, you don't. So anyway, bridleth not his tongue. And look what it says. It says, you don't bridle your tongue, but deceiveth his own heart. Deceive. In other words, you're thinking you're what? You're thinking you're saved. But you're deceiving your own heart. You're living contrary to Christianity. You're living contrary to that true religion, that undefiled religion, that pure religion. And you deceive your own self. I tell you, it's a shame when the Holy Ghost convicts somebody of them being lost and without God, and their own deceitful heart deceives them into believing, well, I prayed a prayer, and I got baptized, and I've been in church. I mean, you were in church for how many years before you got saved? I mean, truly saved. So, 9 years, thinking you're saved. How about you? You went your whole life, right? 13 till you're 13. Do you remember when you made your first profession of faith? You don't remember? That's why I'm concerned about some of you kids. I don't care how many times you pray. Sometimes I'll show you my Bible and some of my children, how many times they prayed before they got in. Buddy, I don't care how many times you pray. I want to see something change. I mean, if there's no change, I don't believe y'all got saved. I believe your attitude should change. I believe your work habits should change. I believe your heart should change. I just believe there should be a change. I mean, I would think. I just remember this illustration that Robbie, what's that guy's name from Capital City? Simpson. Robbie Simpson was preaching up in New York, and he said, if you were standing on a four-lane highway and there was a tractor trailer coming down 60 miles an hour and then hit you, do you think it would have an effect on you? Yeah, obviously. Well, he says, you're telling me that the third person of the Trinity moves into your heart, moves into your body, and there's no effect on you? Amen. Buddy, that made a whole lot of sense to me. Yeah. Amen. He said, why? Well, I know the change he did in me. I was only 22, yeah. But my whole life changed. The way I saw things, the way I heard things, the way I thought about things. Do you understand that? Am I different than anybody else? I don't believe that. I believe we're all the same as far as being sinners. And when the Holy Ghost moves in, he illuminates us. And he wants to change us by the grace of God. And so what's the Lord say about his religion? It's what? It's vain. Give me some words that tell us what vain is. It's worthless. What else? Vain and corruptible. It's not real. Vain. Right? Hey, when a clown paints his face, is that his real face? It's not real. Vain. No purpose. Fake. Empty. Verse 27. Pure religion undefiled before God. Who's it supposed to be before? It's not to be seen of men and to be praised of men. What we do is for the Lord. Pure religion undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So it's before God. And when you say visit, do you understand that there's a whole lot of stuff that can be involved in visiting somebody? I mean, you know, it's conversation, it's prayer, maybe it's cleaning a house, maybe it's cooking, maybe it's taking them someplace. I mean, there's all kinds of things that can be involved in visiting, correct? And I think everything that falls under charity would be there. And do you notice, look at the two classes. Is that the only people we're to visit, fatherless and widows? But, okay, let me ask you, I want you to think just a few seconds. Why would God... I think we should visit everybody. Do you understand? But he specifically mentions fatherless and widows. Do you know why? Or do you have a thought why it would be possible? Oh, I didn't think about that. That's probably possible. Can you think of another reason why it would be fathers? Now, nobody's excluded here, okay? I mean, you can visit people who have a father. And you can visit people that are married. Those two people don't have relationships that are very helpful to other people. Widows. Some of you know what it is to be lonely. But some of you don't know what it is to be lonely. A widow knows loneliness. And some of you know what it is not to have a father in your life. But some of us have no idea what it means to not have a father in our life. And see, until you go through that personally, you have no idea what it means. And God picks out people whose relationships were lacking in an area so that you could minister and help bring them up in some way or fashion. Does that make any sense to y'all? That's just what I got from it anyway. And so, and then it says, in their affliction. And so, you know, widows who are truly widows and fatherless, there's an affliction there. Matthew Poole says it this way. He said, these folks are destitute of relationships that would have helped them. Destitute of relationship. See, many times when I preach, I use my dad as an example, do I not? Now think about this. I've got a couple grandsons now that if the Lord doesn't move in their mother's life and give her somebody, they're going to grow up without a dad. And so if they're called to preach, they won't have the illustrations that I have as far as having a dad in my life. Does that make any sense to y'all? Destitute. That's a pretty barren word. Destitute. And in their affliction. And then he finishes up, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. I sure like that. Hey, let me just do this. I just forgot, remembered this. Go to Psalm 68 with me. Psalm 68. Psalm 68 and verse number 5. Well, let's start in verse number 4. Sing unto God, sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Yah, and rejoice before him. So we're talking about God, verse 5. A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. So there again, that's God's thinking about widows and fatherless, that he would minister to them. And so then he talks about those who have pure religion and undefiled. What's he want us to do? He wants us to be like him and minister to those kinds of people. And then unspotted from the world. I like that. Matthew Poole said this about unspotted from the world. Untainted by the evil example of men in the world and free from the lusts of the world and moral pollutions. Unspotted. Dr. Don Green had a saying. Could anybody remember? I can hear that old man. He would just go, somebody would walk in the room. He said, doesn't matter if they say they're saved or not saved. They just got the smack of the world on them. That's not unspotted. Yeah. Boy, that got quiet there, huh? I don't know why somebody that's indwelt by the Holy Ghost of God would want to chase after the fads or the fashions of a lost world, where those fads and fashions come from hell or Hollywood or Paris or New York City or some barroom. Say amen right there. Ought to get your fashions from the Word of God. Amen. God dresses up his bride in Ezekiel. I mean, there's all kinds of illustrations in the Bible. That's why people should read their Bible. You shouldn't need a preacher to point out all the things that are wrong and all the things. You should read your Bible. The Holy Ghost will point them out to you. Say amen right there. Yeah. And there's, I think, unspotted from the world, I think there's two good things that God mentions here about pure religion undefiled. One is good works, and one is holiness of conversation. Good works, holiness of conversation, your lifestyle, those are testimonies of what? Pure religion and undefiled. You're different. You're changed. There it is in the book of James there, pure religion. So we should be doers of the word and not hearers only. If you're a doer, then you'll show the evidences of that pure religion and undefiled. Amen. Let's pray.